Welcome to the 54 Problems Podcast, the global mini golf podcast. Hear from some of the best players in the sport. Look ahead to some of the biggest tournaments and have a chance to win some amazing prizes. And now your hosts, Andrew Edmonds and Simon Brown.
Hello and welcome to the 54 Problems Podcast. I'm your co-host, Andrew Edmonds. Welcome one and all, and thank you so much for joining us. And with me, as always, is my good friend and co-host. You are never going to believe it. It's Simon Brown. Hello, Simon.
Hello. It's good to be back.
How are you? Okay?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Plenty to talk about and a fantastic guest with us. So, yeah, looking forward to another good chat and catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though we're recapping November, we still do have a great deal to talk about, which is always good. Before we get into it today, we do have one sort of correction or omission to go back to. So in the October recap episode, we did speak about the nominations for the Czech Republic national team. One thing we failed to mention, which we will do now, is what a fantastic performance the US national team put in at the US Masters. And we'll post the scores in with the description of this episode, but there were a lot of amazing performances in there. Rick Baird, Greg Newport, Tim Tallien, Nate Nichols, Vinette Block, Frank Bisesi. The scores will be there that you can look through them. In particular, we'd like to call out Vinette Block, who played amazingly and even scored a record for her of 28 during round 5, which was an incredible score. So well done to Vinette. Everyone is so proud of you here. Congratulations. Now, just before we get into the main part of the episode, I'd like to thank our Patreon supporters for helping us to continue make this podcast. So thank you very much to our champions of the podcast, Sevi Kukielka, for your help. And if yourself would like to support the podcast, you can do so by going to patreon.com/54problems, and we'll put that link in the description of the show. So joining us today, helping us recap the mini golf month that was November, we have an absolute legend of the sport. We're so excited to be talking to him. Please welcome to the 54 Problems Podcast, Ted McIver. Hello, Ted.
Good evening, gentlemen, and it's a pleasure to be here.
How are you? Okay?
I am. It is a little bit chilly down on the south coast here. I can tell how cold it is because the cat that usually ignores me is circling around my lap at the moment looking for some extra warmth. But that just shows how cold it is.
So, in mini golf news, the World Mini Golf Sport Federation is now listed as a partner organisation of the Guinness World Records. And that was thanks to some help from a podcast favourite, Richard Gottfried. So it's exciting news. It means we're going to get to see world records from the world of mini golf. The first record was for the most WMF World Champion Tournament wins by a male youth, and that was claimed by Kenny Mark Schmeckenbecker. So an important achievement and a milestone there. And this also opens the door for other interesting mini golf records. I know some people are thinking about doing a huge mini golf marathon as well. So exciting news. Ted, what do you make of that? World records. Have you ever thought about doing anything like that?
Sure. First, at Margate, you've covered the world record for the number of times you missed the hole on hole 11.
Heartbreak Ridge.
I would love to just see, to put out a field of 54 people and see who lasted the longest, see how many days it could go on for. Mm. I'd love to do that. Yeah. But I don't think I can find 53 other people willing to do that. So it'd just be me on my own. My phone battery wouldn't last long enough to document it. So I have heard in the community there is a couple of different people in different countries looking at attempts. I know one quite close to home for me. and maybe one closer to home for Andrew. So this does open the door, I think, to a few things that hopefully will be good for the profile of the sport. Certainly for local media coverage, it's always a bit of a winner, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. It is good for raising the profile in the sport, having it on the Guinness World Record site as well. In other news, this is an interesting one. Mini golf wagering has been approved in Colorado and Wyoming. So perhaps starting as early as next year, you'll be able to place bets, place wagers on the outcome of mini golf tournaments in those areas. Interesting one. Details are quite sparse at the moment. It is one news website that we got the report from, and we will share that. What do we make of that? Mini golf wagering.
I think I love it as a concept because it's another step towards it being a sport and being considered on a level of is professional, everything else. But is it open to abuse? I don't know. I'm not sure.
It sort of depends what level it is. You have it in golf, don't you, in the big tournaments. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I was mentioning earlier that if I've been betting on the team championships at the weekend, I'd have been very much out of pocket.
Yes, I'm sure we will get to that. But yeah, I think that's the thing with mini golf. It's so unpredictable. Looking back just in this November recap, I wouldn't have called many of the people we're going to talk about winning. And I think that maybe makes it an unattractive field to bet on, a mini golf. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, traditionally, you just stick your money on Michael Smith, but that would have paid out, 50-plus times in the past decade, so that would be a safe bet.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Simon. It's great in terms of aligning mini golf with other serious competitive sports, but I would be worried about the regulations as well, because mini golf struggles in other aspects regulatory wise, so it seems like quite a big move to wagering, but it'll be something interesting for us to keep our eyes on next year. Finally, in mini golf news, we have a quote here. So this was on prominigolf.com, the homepage of the USPMGA, the tournament body for mini golf in America. I'll read the quote out pretty much exactly how it was posted on the website. I've just changed a couple of grammar things, but this is pretty much exactly how the quote was on the website. If anyone would like to make a comment on how the US Pro Mini Golf Association should conduct its business, we welcome your comment, positive or negative. Positive comments can be posted anywhere. However, negative comments must be sent to a member of the USPMGA board. Comments posted on social media will result in a fine and a period of suspension from the USPMGA. Quite shocking news. Simon, Ted, what do we make of that?
There's a lot to unpack in that statement. Take from that what you want. Yeah, that's close to censorship. And I don't think anybody in a position of authority in a tournament should dictate the narrative in how that tournament or that tour is perceived. I think that's up to the players. We have the freedom of speech in every aspect of our lives, and we're lucky to have that. And they also have that in America, so they can't take that away. Surely. If they applied this to UK mini golf, I'd be banned from the BMG until at least 2026.
With a fine, apparently.
Yeah, despite the fact I'm a fan of them. So, yeah. And that's exactly the danger is. You'll have people that are passionate about the sport.
Yeah. The vast majority of serious comments or criticisms about mini golf and mini golf tournaments are going to come from a good place in terms of wanting the sport to improve. Say the vast, vast majority. Every so often you'll get someone who's disappointed at their performance in a tournament, might say some negative things just motivated by that disappointment. But I think most of us can realise when that's happening and know to separate out those kind of comments from the genuinely helpful comments. And I think vast majority of comments will be genuinely helpful and come from a place of wanting to grow the sport. So to censor those and to risk not seeing those, I would say, could ultimately do much, much more harm to the sport. Okay, so let's get into the real meat of the episode. This is where we look back over the important tournaments for November and look ahead to tournaments coming in December. This is Tournament Talk.
Tournament Talk. Tournament Talk.
So at the beginning of November in the UK, we had a double header. On Saturday, the 5th of November, was the BMGA Match Play Doubles at Woodland Adventure Golf at the China Peak Country Club in Saltash. There's a really great video on the BMGA which we'll share of the action towards the Match Play Doubles. Gives a really great look at the course and also of the action of the Match Play Doubles as it was coming to a close. So really good bit of mini golf media there from the BMGA, and we'll share that. Congratulations, in third place was 1992 Denmark. That's Steve Lovell and Luke Ryan. Always fantastic to see Luke, relatively new player, get a medal. So congratulations to Luke and indeed Steve as well. In second place was the Wonk Spangles, David Hartley and Marion Hartley. And again, you'll see on the video, they played extremely well. Just a few unlucky breaks, but ultimately, congratulations, first place, the winners, Team Gemini, Ruth Burke and Steve Sturdy. Congratulations. On Sunday, the 6th of November, was the English Open. This is the first ranking event at that Woodland Adventure Golf. Third place, Steve Lovell. Second place, Seve Kukielka. And first place, after a playoff, his first ranking tournament win, 3 years of playing. Congratulations to James Shaw. We have a few words from James Shaw.
Yeah, I had no nerves going into the last few holes, really, and just kept it together, if you know what I mean. And the fact that Seve dropped the shots towards the end, I thought, just keep doing what you're doing and you should pull through, sort of thing. In regards to how did I feel when I won, as I said, ecstatic, joy, a sense of achievement. I finally got to a tournament under my belt that I generally thought I had a chance at. I don't think a lot of people saw it coming, but this year I've been there or thereabouts near the top. In the top 10, and I just thought one day it will click for me, and I'm really happy with the outcome. So glad to be English Open champion, and no one can take that away from me, which is really great. So I'm really, really happy, and I'm looking forward to the next tournament.
Ted, you were there. What did you make of the event?
I enjoyed it. At first look, it didn't seem that much. That much of an interesting course, but after playing it over the 2 days, I really got into it, and I'd like to go down and play on the course again.
Yeah, one thing that's definitely worth a note is with those two wins. So James at the moment plays for Sussex Wasps, and obviously the winners of the doubles the day before are Gemini Mini Golf, which now bring us to in the last calendar year. Every single club in the UK, with the exception of Putterfingers, but they're a company more than a club. So every sort of open club to join in the UK now holds a title. And I think, I'd have to double check, but I think the last six events have been won by different clubs. I think Gloucester Strokes, then Ted in the Players' Championships for Hastings, then Andy Exum won for Thanet Silverbacks, and now we're Gemini, and now we're Wasps. It just shows how competitive this year's mini golf has been in the UK. I think the first few months were completely dominated by Gloucester Aces. And then since then, everybody's just upped their level and split out the wins since. And I think that's fantastic to see.
So also on the 6th of November, The Thornley Mini Golf Club hosted the Australian Mini Golf Championships 2022. Congratulations to Warwick Tandy, who won the Australian Mini Golf title. Warwick is now a two-time national champion, and he set a new four-round tournament low score of 140 and received $2,000 for the win. We asked Adam Cox for a quick quote. He said that he scored 145 for the tournament, which would have been a new tournament record if it wasn't for Warwick's amazing play, who scored four strokes better on 140. So Alan ultimately came in second place. But despite that, Alan says that he is happy with his result because he matched his performance during practice. On the 20th of November was the Club Championships in the UK. So a special format of competition that seeks to find the best club. We were just speaking about the great competition between the clubs. Congratulations, third place, Planet Hastings, putt out to grass. Second place, congratulations go to Strokes Mini Golf, Strokes of Luck team. And first place, also Strokes Mini Golf with their Strokes of Genius team. Congratulations, Andy Wild, James Rutherford, Chris Wood and Matt Dodd. Simon, I believe you spoke to a couple of those winners earlier.
Yeah, so I had a little chat with a couple of people from the winning team. I don't think they'll mind me saying that of the two teams that was put in on paper by Strokes, it would have been the upset to win, but still fantastic players. And it shows the strength and depth that that team has, that you could look at a team of this quality and think this would be the upset. But on the day, they've been well captained, and they came through and they've managed to do it, and they've done it with fantastic play from everybody involved. So first of all, spoke to team captain James Rutherford, who will be no stranger to anyone that knows the UK game. He says the Club Championships has long been one of his favourite events, and is delighted that he's won at the first tournament at the first time of asking with Strokes. He says both his teams performed brilliantly, picking up first and second. This was the target at the start of the day. He's delighted for himself, Chris, Matt and Andy, as they gelled well as a team, and Andy Wild played through the pain barrier, which was amazing. The match against Thanet was the highlight, where they fought back from four down to get a point.
Wow.
He said it's a big confidence boost against a strong team. And for anyone listening in that doesn't know UK mini golf, Thanet and Strokes are from the same town. They're clubs both from Margate, so this is literally like as close to a derby as you'll get. So you can imagine that that would have been a tasty, tasty match. James continues. Our match with Strokes, that will be the other Strokes team, was incredibly close, with an ace from Andy Wild in the last home winning it for us. There was very little between us in the day. And then finishes confidently. He's looking forward to defending the title next year.
Lovely.
There'll be a couple of teams with something to say about that. I also spoke to Matt Dodd. Matt Dodd is one of the most likeable, consistent chaps on the UK scene. And as you can imagine, he was delighted, obviously. He says it was a great event to win against six other very strong teams. James, Chris, Andy and myself had a great team spirit and had each other's backs, all playing a part. Special mention to Andy for playing through the pain. He said it's honestly the best experience he's ever had in mini golf.
That is lovely to hear, isn't it? That's really nice. In our last episode, we mentioned that through nobody's fault, the course now has changed probably for the worse. They have rope boundaries around the outside, so rebounds aren't possible. But as we've just heard, that didn't stop Matt Dodd from having the best time of his career. So really, really nice to hear that. Thank you, Simon. Ted, you were part of the third place Planet Hastings putt out to grass team. How did you find the event and the course and all of the format, I suppose?
I've loved the format, but mainly blowing my own trumpet. Both myself and Tim Davis came up with the format years and years ago. So it's great to see that it's still being played, that style, and people are still enjoying it so much. It's a great day out, and the tense, it's so tense when you're out there.
Okay, so that was the mini golf month of November. Looking ahead then to December, we have, so my country, Czech Republic, we're done now, but there is one final event in the UK on Sunday, the 4th of December, the Star City Open. And thankfully, it's an indoor course. I always love this event. I'll probably say if there was one place other than Hastings I would travel to in the UK for a tournament, it would be this Star City Open indoor course. Simon, you're going to it. Thoughts? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, first things first, you look back in this one fondly because you played well there.
Yep, maybe. Yeah.
That's always the way. That's always the way. Yeah. But yeah, it's a fantastic, fantastic course and event. I believe it was the first, if not one of the first, proper indoor courses in the UK.
Yeah.
Now there's many, most of them substandard, but this is back from the days when they built good courses indoors.
Yeah.
And it is fantastic. They keep it in good condition. Mm. They make us welcome. It's always a strong field. It contributes to most people's position in the order of merit because of the strength of field. And you know the big players come through. Your Michael Smiths and even your lesser seen big players like your Rocky Bullins, they come through with some amazing scores.
Yeah.
It's technical mini golf. You get to use as many balls as you want. Mm-hmm. If you felt using 12 or 14, you could. I think I use 8 or 9. I hear whispers that a certain gentleman is experimenting with only using a couple of balls, but yeah, it's always a delight.
Okay, so that was tournament talk. Now, are we ready to get a little bit controversial? This is Hot Topic. So in Hot Topic, we take a widely debated, discussed question from the world of mini golf, a yes-no question. We put that to Simon first. In the interest of fairness, I tried to give arguments on the other side. Then we let our guest, in this case Ted, vote. And then we take it to you, the listeners, to get your opinion on it. And the hot topic for this month is, should the UK tournament calendar remain largely the same for 2023? So yes, if you're happy for it to remain largely the same. No, if you think some major changes should be made. So for the context of our international listeners, UK Tournament Championship looks like, in addition to all of the regular events, you've got the World Crazy Golf Championship, two majors in there, the British Championship and the British Open, played over Saturday and Sunday. You have one golf ball only tournament and one single ball tournament, two indoor tournaments, the match play singles, the match play doubles, and the club championships, which we've spoken about this episode. And that's in addition to all the regular ranking tournament events. So should that format, should the UK tournament calendar remain largely the same for 2023? Yes, if on the whole you think it's good. No, if you think some kind of big change should be made. And if you do vote no, we would ask you to make a comment to explain what change you think should be made. So Simon, you're first. Should the UK tournament calendar remain largely the same for 2023? Yes or no?
There's two sides to this. In terms of the balance of events, the, you know, the formats and the participation, etc., I think that's about where the UK needs to be at the moment. Mm-hmm. There is the option of one, sometimes two golf ball only events. It's mostly technical mini golf balls. Yeah, I quite like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still have to say we do need a lot of change. And that's the geographical spread. And that's always been an issue. It is difficult because you've got a player base that for the most part is close to where the events are held. But what comes first, you know?
Sure.
Is the player spread next to the events, or are the events next to the players? And that would be the one you'd have to debate. For me, I would have the... out of the willingness to look at a calendar that had a few upsets on it and made me go to Newcastle and Manchester, and I'd look with a lot of excitement at that. Mm-hmm. Instead of seeing the calendar come out and say, you're off to Margate twice, or you're off to, I don't know, it's just the same old.
Dunton twice, yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, there's all these places that we became fond of, but do they push the game forward? There's a good argument that yes, they do, because their player numbers are at an all-time high. I think the growth in terms of participation has been sort of double-digit, up to 20%, maybe, I guess, for the last 5 years, even through COVID, when they had events, the growth kept going. So you're looking at this from an organisational point of view, and you're the BMGA, you probably don't want to make much changes to what is clearly a winning formula, and I get that. But for me, you've got to have ambition. And the benefit of this boom in participation in the events is the new school of players. They have their putter and their drive to events. And they are not stuck in their habits of being in Hastings two or three times a year, etc. And if you say next year it's in Manchester, Newcastle and St. Helens, and you're going to have to go to these places every couple of months, I think they would. And I think if you look at the field 7 years ago, maybe they wouldn't have. So I'd mix it up. And I'd be prepared to take a couple of criticisms that we might have to change it back the next year. But I would have a go.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're sort of happy with the format, the indoor, the outdoor, the golf ball, single ball, the major tournaments and the different, you know, singles, match play, singles, doubles and club championship. But your one objection is the geographic location.
Exactly.
So
that.
It's a no for that reason. Okay.
Yeah, it's a no with caveats. Yeah.
So Simon has voted no. Some arguments on the yes side of it. If you look at the engagement, then clearly something is going right. Record numbers, more and more players participating. Great engagement for many, many of the tournaments. It's really positive to see the sport is growing. So you could look at it like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The numbers are going up. Engagement is good. They're staying on the same track. So something's clearly working, and that would be the argument, one of the arguments for saying yes, the UK tournament calendar should remain largely the same for 2023. So you've heard some arguments for yes and for no. Ted, you have the dubious honour of casting the first vote. Should the UK tournament calendar remain largely the same for 2023?
I speak here as somebody who was the tournament organiser a long time ago, and I was on the EC, and then been on the EC again, where I put the case for widening the scope, widening the net of where we hold the tournaments. In terms of, I'd probably look to do it a bit more incrementally. The two-day events,
yep.
I would keep them as they are, because we know, with the exception of Dunton, was that a two-day event? I can't remember.
It felt like about five. No, it was two. It was two.
So Hastings, Margate, both great courses, and they've also got, if we're attracting overseas players as well, they've got the facilities, they've got the transport links, they've got things to do in the evening. In terms of the one-day events, We had before, possibly Sean was involved in getting the Belfast Open up and running. I've organised the Aberdeen Open, the first one at Dunfermline. We had Manchester, Blackpool, which Gottfried is, and I'm putting that as an unofficial ambassador for the sport. He goes around playing all these great courses around the country. So, in some ways, part of the work would be done if someone reached out to him and asked him for his feedback on where he thinks would be a successful course. So we're not starting from zero. We've got a fantastic database of courses around the country and what sort of reception we would have. I'd love to see, Simon says, something possibly Liverpool, Manchester, Newcastle. I think as well as we see the geographical spread going southwest, that the saying that the mini golfers are just in the southeast quarter is changing now. We're getting more people based Wales and the southwest. It's rather like the slow push of the Anglo-Saxons when they came into this country. moving northwards. And I think we should definitely, with one-day games, look to be hosting some tournaments. Probably be great to have some of the traditional seaside towns in the north as well getting in on board, involved. Blackpool, Skegness, and so on. So yes, I would definitely be in favour of expanding from the southeast.
Right. So your vote is for no. It shouldn't remain largely the same. But what you're saying is changes should be made incrementally. So do you think maybe one or two events in other areas of the UK is sort of that? Is that what you're thinking?
Possibly look at the one-day events we've got. Look to host them, and if they're a success, then look to possibly move on to the next step.
Yeah, I think one thing you do have to look at is, and we have seen the tour expand previously, and they pushed up into Scotland, and let's be honest, look at the participation that failed. But they pushed into Wales, and then they got the Welsh Mini Golf Club. And in time, things that came from that have pushed towards into England, and England have pushed back towards Wales, and that sort of joined from the southeast to the southwest and then into Wales. So there would have to be a bit of maturity about not everything would succeed. But if you attempt some things, so you attempted going over to Ireland, going to Scotland, going to Wales, eventually something did stick. And if you don't attempt it, nothing will stick. Another thing, there's no secret next year, because James Shaw is very proudly got his shirt on already, there will be a Leicester Foxes club. As to what James and Leicester Foxes choose to do, that's entirely up to them, but that's a sign that there'll be a club further north. And that could be the start of spreading up. Now we went across England, you maybe got somebody that's going to start taking us a bit further north, and that's an opportunity. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Yep, so there you have it. Ted's first vote is for no. The UK tournament calendar should not remain largely the same for 2023. We would now like to hear what you, the listener, think. So please cast your vote on the Facebook poll. And we would ask for this one in particular. If you do vote no, please do explain your reasons why. Sort of recognise that there's only one reason for voting yes and a lot of reasons to vote no. So this poll might be a little bit skewed. So we would ask that if you do vote no, please explain your reason for saying that some kind of change you feel should be made to the calendar. Okay, so now it's time for our competition where the listener could win an amazing prize. Normally, Ted, at this point, I would be asking you if you have a hole in your head and asking you to describe a hole. However, seeing as it's December and the start of Christmas, and soon it will be our very exciting Christmas special episode, we're going to be doing things a little bit different. First of all, we're going to be announcing what the prize is. So thank you to Glenn Palmer. The winner of this competition will win a Putt 18 Pro League members pack. And that includes one Putt 18 putting mat, a Putt 18 scoring app, three Putt 18 competition balls, one Putt 18 cap, and one Putt 18 player patch. So very exciting prize indeed, including the Putt 18 putting mat. So to help us with this competition, what we've done is organised a mini golf Christmas choir. So take a listen to this. Ted, you're one of the first people that are going to be hearing this masterpiece.
On the 12th day of Christmas, mini golf gave to me
12 bits representing
11 sweets racing,
10 lords putt 18,
9 ladies competing,
8 yanks a podcasting,
7 Aussies practicing,
6 jacks putting,
5 dead balls,
4 bungles links,
3 NEPA Riners,
2 bounce outs,
and an ace on heartbreak.
I have no idea where that is, Andrew. You're going to have to edit that out.
Well, could that be a Christmas number one?
Hopefully. So, to enter the competition, all you have to do is identify the mini golf players from our Christmas choir. Each player identified, correctly identified, will get you one entry into the random draw. And you can enter over email at 54problems@gmail.com, or you can just send us an entry over Facebook Messenger. So every person that you're able to correctly identify will get you one entry into the draw. So it's worth entering even if you only know one person that entered. Some of the people have been in previous episodes. Some of the people, there are cryptic clues hidden within the lyrics that we'll post on YouTube as well. The deadline for entries is our Christmas special, which we will do in front of a virtual live audience. And in that special, we will reveal the answers and do the random draw for the winner. It's going to be an exciting episode. Also in the Christmas special, we'll be doing the December recap. We're going to talk about our top five from mini golf in 2022, and there'll be a couple of surprises along the way. That's our Christmas competition. Ted, what did you make of it?
That's a great competition. That sounds really good idea. I recognise some of the voices, but I need to listen to it a few times. But yeah, that's a fabulous idea. Christmas chemical.
We'll put it on YouTube so we can listen as many times as you like. And if you did recognize a few of the voices, email us, get in touch, and your name will go into the random draw one time for each person you correctly identify. And you could win that amazing prize, the Putt 18 Pro League, the Pro League members pack. Simon, thoughts?
Yeah, firstly, fantastic prize and so generous of Glenn and the Putt 18 team to donate that. That comes from such a good place with them. Glenn's so passionate about the Putt 18 community, and the timing in the winter for a lot of us to have the chance to compete for free if you win this prize could not be better. As for those that have got involved, sang along, and giving us a line, thank you so much. There was a few people could we get them to do it? Would they take part? And it says a lot about the goodwill in the sport, that everyone's such a good sport and wants to get involved. So, yeah, thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, where people describe a favourite hole, it's wonder what people's least favourite hole is over the years. I think the Mile One is possibly... one. Do you remember there's that one that you got a hit in the air on it, you turn it, that goes into a basketball hoop.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Number of times it went over the underneath it or just hit the side, the rim, and clanged and fell to the wall. That used to drive me crazy. So.
Well, speaking of you playing on Ethernet, I think that leads nicely onto our next subject, because we're done with the November recap, but we would like to invite you back onto the podcast to hear all about your career. And part of that interesting career was the mini golf mini movie where you played on Ethernet, right? And a documentary was made about it.
Timisoara, yes, that's right.
So we want to ask you about that and all of the other interesting things you've done in your career. So if you could, Ted, please do come back for the player spotlight episode. I'm sure there's a lot of interesting things to dive into there from your career.
It would be great to come back on the show.
So something to look forward to then in Ted's player spotlight, and of course the Christmas special episode of 54 Problems, and we'll be sharing more information about both of those on our Facebook page. But all that's left to say for now is goodbye from Ted.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Simon.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.